9 degrees outside today. That's not right. That is not right, says our northerner. You know, that usually, this is October. Sometimes I try to start my winter beard by this time, but it's just too hot. So I'm keeping mine shaved off till it gets a little cooler. And of course, I don't grow the big thing, you know, just the goatee and the mustache, just because I don't like to shave. But it's too hot to have hair on your face right now. So it's too hot for a tie. I've got one in my office. I brought it with me this morning. We're getting out of Sunday school. I was, you know, the teacher didn't let us out very early, and I told him, I said, I don't know if I have time to get my tie on, and everybody said, oh, you don't need one. So I didn't run and put my tie on. I just can't believe how warm it is. You know, this weekend, I went to Snake Road twice. I went on Friday and on Monday, Columbus Day, and it was cool enough. The snakes were migrating pretty good, but I think the snakes are probably still in the swamp. It's too hot. I don't think they're coming out to try to find the rocks yet, so I'm not going to go to Snake Road this weekend. So this morning, we're looking at Exodus chapter 33 and chapter 40. At least that's where we're going to start. So if you have your Bibles, you're going to want to open them to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Now we're talking about knowing Jesus, and here we are in the Old Testament again. You know, second Sunday, you know, we had the concert in between 2 weeks ago. We were in the book of Judges talking about knowing Jesus. We're talking about knowing Jesus, knowing the Father, recognizing the Holy Spirit, and we're looking this morning, we're going to look at His presence and His glory. Knowing Jesus, where glory dwells, is what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, before we read some verses here in Exodus 33, I need to kind of remind you of what's just happened. Because in Exodus chapter 32, Moses is up on Mount Sinai, and he's meeting with God, and God is talking to him, and he's giving him the law, the Ten Commandments, and Moses is in the presence of God on Mount Sinai, and I think he forgot his watch. He, and maybe even his calendar. He just went past. That the children of Israel down at the foot of Mount Sinai, they started thinking, well, Moses isn't coming back. He's not going to come back. And the people start getting restless. And they go to Aaron and they say, we don't know what's happened to this man Moses. And they go to Aaron and they ask Aaron to make gods for them. And Aaron says, well, bring me all your gold jewelry. And they did. Wish it was that easy. Just bring us all your gold. And they brought him their gold, and he melted it and made a golden calf. And we know that in Israel, in Egypt, that some of the gods they worshipped were represented by things like golden calves. And maybe you're familiar with the story. He makes the golden calf and things get out of hand. They get crazy. They commit idolatry. This great big revelry and party breaks out and they sin greatly. And Moses is still up on Mount Sinai with God, and God says, you better get down there. You better get down there. And God is angry. And Moses goes down and he calls the Levites to him, his tribe. Moses was a Levite. And the Levites join with Moses and they take their swords. Things are so, it's anarchy. And they're just trying to restore order. And they pull their swords out and 3,000 Hebrews are killed that day as Moses and the Levites just go to battle to regain control and restore order to the camp. And you read in chapter 32, we're told that God sent a plague. It's bad stuff going on. And Moses decides to go back up the mountain. And he says, I'm going to go back up and speak to God. And Moses says, see if I can make atonement for you. And that's the context. That's what's just happened in chapter 32. And we get to chapter 33. And we're going to look at some verses here. And we're going to try to see God's presence and glory in the book of Exodus. God's presence and glory in Exodus. And so Moses goes back up on the mountain. And the Lord is telling Moses what to do. And he tells Moses, just leave. Take the people. No, and if you're looking there, if you've got your Bible open in chapter 33, he says, take you and the people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt. God's not even saying, God doesn't say, you take the people I brought out of Egypt. He says, he's blaming the whole mess on Moses, it sounds like. He says, you go, take the people that you brought up out of the land of Egypt and take them to the promised land. The land I swore I would give to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I'm going to give it to your offspring. God says, I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to give this land to their offspring. And he says, I'll send an angel before you. I'll send an angel before you. And I will drive out all the other people that are there, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. I'll drive them all out. You go to this land of milk and honey. But then he says these words, I will not go up among you. I will not go among you unless I consume you because you're a stiff-necked people. Wow. You know, at first it sounds like a pretty good deal. I mean, who wouldn't? We'll have an angel lead us. Who wouldn't want to be led by an angel? Why settle for an angel if you can be led by God Himself? And in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, listen to what happens here. In verse 12, Moses says to the Lord, see, you tell me, bring up this people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name and you have found favor in my sight. And he's asking God to go along. And he's asking for the presence of God. And in verse 14, he says, God says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And in verse 15, Moses says, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. Do not bring us up from here. Do you hear what's going on there? God is so upset with the sinfulness of the people. He's saying, go ahead, Moses, take them to the promised land. I promised this place to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You go and I'll give them the land. I'll drive the enemies out. But I'm just going to send my angels with you. I'm not going to go myself. And Moses says, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. I don't want to go, God, unless you go with us. Now remember, Moses is on Mount Sinai talking to God. And he has just spent like 40 days on Mount Sinai talking to God. And he's learned about the presence of God. And now he is not going to be satisfied to go anywhere without the presence of God. And Moses is showing us something here, that when the presence of God becomes real to you, when the presence of God is something that you learn of, You begin coming to a place where you don't want to leave. You don't want to go anywhere in your life without the presence of God. And Moses, remember, he met God at the burning bush. And God told him, I want you to go and do this. And Moses said, I can't. I can't speak. And he said, well, I'll let Aaron go and be the one who speaks for you. And Moses and Aaron, they went and they went through all this with Pharaoh, and they went all through all this with the people, and they end up out there on the edge of the Red Sea, and God parts the Red Sea, and God takes them out into the wilderness, and Moses is learning, man, God's presence is important. I could not have done this. I could not have convinced Pharaoh to let these people go. I could not have led these people through the Red Sea. I could not have done this. But God was with me. God's presence was with me. Now he's been on Mount Sinai, meeting in the presence of God. And when God says, you go, Moses, you go. Go ahead. But I'm not going to go with you. Moses' heart sinks. And he says, don't send me away from your presence. Just let me stay here. Do not bring us up from here. If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. He says, Is it not in your going with us that you are distinct? The thing that makes us the people of God, the thing that makes Israel different, the thing that makes maybe Moses different as a leader, is it not the presence of God that matters? And God relents and he says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. What changed? What changed? It's still the same stiff-necked, stubborn people whom God said, I'm just gonna step on you. I'm gonna wipe you out. If I go with these people, my judgment's gonna fall upon them and they will cease to exist. One thing here, I want you to see this as a picture of God's grace. These people hadn't changed, and you read the book of Exodus, and you read the story of the journey to the promised land. Eventually, this group of people that were there didn't get to go into the promised land because they didn't have enough faith and they didn't trust God to give it to them. The only thing that changed between the time God said, I will not go among you, and when God said, my presence will go with you, is that Moses exhibited the thirst and the desire and the hunger and I've got to have your presence, Lord. I can't go anywhere without your presence. The attitude, the heart of wanting the presence of God. And God says, okay, my presence will go with you. Now Moses doesn't stop there. Look at this. What do you think? God has said, I'm not going to go. You guys go without me. I'm not going. Hey, men, here's a lesson for all of us here. I'm just, and I need to learn this too. You know, if you want your wife to go with you, just tell her. Okay? Don't stand around and say, well, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that, and hope she wants to go. I hope she wants to go, and so she'll go and get in the car with me and go. Just say, hey, honey, will you go with me? If you want her presence, tell her you want her presence. Don't just hope she goes. Okay? And vice versa, ladies. If you want the presence of your husbands, tell them. I want you to do this thing. I don't want to go by myself. But Moses doesn't stop there. God says, yes, I will go. I will go. My presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. Moses doesn't stop there. Look in verse 18. He says, please show me your glory. Show me your glory. The Lord's talking to Moses. He says, this very thing you've spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. And instead of saying, thank you, Father, thank you, God, instead of being satisfied, Moses wants more. And he says, please show me your glory. And God does. And you can read about, I'm not going to go to the verses here, but he puts Moses in a cleft in the rock. He says, Moses, if I can't let you see my face, the greatness of the glory of my face is so powerful that you would die. I got a little, this is just a thought, okay, but if Moses saw the face of God, he would never go back. He would never go back down the mountain. He would never go back to that stubborn, stiff-necked people. He would never lead them into the promised land. Why would he? Why? He's already got the face of God. What else is there? What is greater? There is nothing. To see the face of God is to be in the glory of the throne room of God and to be in His presence. And that's the goal. Nothing else for Moses to do if he's seen the... But he says, if you see the face of God, if you see my face, I can't show you my face, but I'm going to put you in the cleft and I'm going to let you just get a glimpse of my glory. And as I'm passing by, I'll let you see me from the back. And God shows him His glory. Wow. He allows Moses to glimpse His glory. This is incredible stuff. And God's presence continues to be with Moses and the people. And have you read this story of Exodus? You know, after experiencing the glory of God shone in Moses' face. And it was such a thing that the people of Israel were afraid of him. This is real. After experiencing God's glory in that way, he had to wear a veil over his face when he went out among the people and covered the glory. Because the sinful people were afraid of God's glory. Now, I want you to see this in verses 7 through 11 here in Exodus 33. It tells us Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting. So if you wanted the Lord, if you wanted the Lord's presence, if you wanted direction from God, if you needed guidance in your life, if you needed God to solve something or help you with something, or you just wanted God. And the people who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out, when Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up and they'd stand at their tent door and watch Moses go into the tent. And whenever when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud, the glory and presence of God, the presence of God would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, the people would rise up and worship each at his tent door. When they saw the presence of God descend on the tent of meeting, they'd all just get on their knees in the tent and the doors of their tents and worship the presence of God. Wow. And it says, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Now, I want to point something out here. I'm not sure. The tabernacle hasn't been built yet. They're at the foot of Mount Sinai. And if you read through here, the next few verses, chapters start talking about making the tabernacle and making the altar and making the items that went in the ark and everything else. You get to chapter 40 before they finish the tabernacle and they erect it. So I'm not sure this passage, I don't know if it's looking ahead, as this is written down, they're thinking about the presence of God, and they're saying, and they just put in this little excerpt from the way things would happen at the tabernacle, or if before they ever even had the tabernacle, Moses set up a tent outside the camp where he would go and meet with God. I kind of think that's what's going on. Not sure. So we get to Exodus 40, and the tabernacle is complete, and it's erected. And look at verse 34 and 35. They have put everything together just the way God has said, and then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And what we read before was that Moses would go in and then the cloud would descend to the door of the tent. And Moses would meet with God face to face. Here, it's a little bit different. The presence of God and the glory of God, the presence of God falls on the tabernacle and the glory of the Lord fills the tabernacle, and Moses couldn't even go in because the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So we're reading through here, and what I'm wanting us to see are two or three things here. In the Exodus, we have the presence and the glory of God, and the dwelling place of God is the tabernacle. The dwelling place of God is the tabernacle. And in after you read about the glory of God falling, and you keep reading, it says, throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by the day, and fire was in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So wherever they were at, the cloud of the presence of God was on the tabernacle during the day, and at night it was a fire. And as long as it was there, they stayed there. And when the cloud or the fire would rise and go, they just picked up their tents and they followed it. And the presence of God literally led them, okay? But the presence of God dwelt in the tabernacle. And God told them, before they ever started building it, He said, I want you to build a tabernacle and I will meet with you there and I will dwell with you there. So in Exodus, we have the presence and the glory of God. We have the dwelling place of God as the tabernacle. And we see all through this story, Moses entering the presence of God. He enters the presence of God on Mount Sinai. He enters the presence of God at the tent of meeting in verses 7 through 11. We are going to continue to read about Moses going into the tabernacle and meeting with the presence of God. And the presence of God was so great that once Moses had met the presence of God and been in the presence of God, he didn't want anything else. I don't want to go where the presence of God is not going to be. And he entered God's presence for God's guidance. He entered God's presence for God's direction. He entered God's presence for worship. But he entered God's presence just for the experience of the presence of God. Can we see that? The dwelling place of God is the tabernacle. Moses entered His presence and Israel followed His glory. Whenever the cloud would rise and begin off through the desert, through the wilderness, they would take their tents down. They would pack up. It was all very organized. They all had a certain spot they were supposed to be. It was all very organized. And that got that multitude of people, got their stuff together, and they followed the cloud of the presence of God and the pillar of the fire of the presence of God, they followed His glory. It's pretty incredible stuff, people. I hope we can see the importance of the presence of God. We see the importance of the presence of God for Moses. We see the importance of the presence of God for Israel. Can we see the impact of the glory of God? They knew when to stay and they knew when to go based on the presence of the glory of God. Okay. That's the presence and the glory of God in the book of Exodus. And we want to talk about knowing Jesus, so we're going to look at God's presence and glory in the New Testament. And the first thing we're going to see is the dwelling place of God, Jesus. Now, bear with me for a moment. Jesus is not merely the dwelling place of God. He is God. And John chapter 1 says that in the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. For all eternity, Jesus has always been God. He is God and He will always be God. So it may sound a little bit strange to say that in the New Testament, Jesus is the dwelling place of God. So I want to show you what I'm talking about. He is the Son of God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He was with God. He was God. But look at John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so when the incarnation happened, when Christ left the glory of the throne room of the Father, and He took on the human flesh and blood of a human being, and he came to live among us, the response of the people who came to know Him and understood who He was this: God came to live with us. God came and dwelt with us. And we saw His glory. And it's not an accident that John uses the same language. He talks about the Word dwelling with us. He uses the same language as the Hebrew people used when they said that God dwelt with them in the tabernacle. And so Jesus came and He shut down the temple. He tore the veil. When He died on the cross, the veil was torn that kept you from entering the Holy of Holies. And the sacrifices would come to cease because Christ has made the sacrifice for us. And the temple came to an end as the place that the people God would recognize as the dwelling place of the presence of God. And the reason was because of Jesus. Because when Jesus walked down the road in Nazareth or Jerusalem or Judea or wherever He went, when Jesus was walking down the road, that was the very presence of God walking down the road. When Jesus got in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, was the presence of God in that boat. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's the sense of what I'm talking about when I say that Jesus, the dwelling place of God in the New Testament, is Jesus. God is here dwelling with us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. You might jot that down if you want to. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So Paul, writing about the eternal nature of Christ and the supreme nature of Jesus, told us that the fullness of God dwelled within Jesus. And God was pleased for that to happen. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The dwelling place of God in the New Testament is Jesus. We keep reading there in John chapter 1, and we see that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. After telling us the Word became flesh in verse 14, and telling us we've seen His glory, glory is the only Son from the Father, it says full of grace and truth. And in verse 16, John goes on, he says, from His fullness, the fullness of the glory and the presence of God in Him, from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus embodied His presence, the fullness of the presence of God. Jesus embodied the fullness of the presence of God. Incarnation, God in human flesh. Never anything like it, and He ascended into heaven. There's never been anything like it since. And when that happened, the disciples beheld His glory. We have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son. And the thing they learned, okay, the thing, the takeaway for the disciples was grace and truth. And they said, in the presence of God, dwelling in Jesus, we beheld His glory, and we found grace and we found truth. I find it interesting, the disciples were a lot like Moses on Mount Sinai. When they first meet Him, Andrew goes and he spends the whole day with Him. You know, have you ever met somebody, you just met them today, and you're so taken up with that person that you don't go home, or you don't go back to work, or you don't leave them there? You just, man, Andrew, when Andrew met Jesus, he didn't want to go home. He stayed all day. And the disciples were men who walked away from their boats and from their jobs and their homes. Because in the presence of Christ, they found contentment. They found life. They found grace and truth. And they wanted to be with Jesus. And so Andrew goes and tells his brother Peter, we found the Christ. And these men went and followed Him everywhere. When they found the presence and they saw the glory of God. So in the New Testament, God's glory dwells in Christ. You want to see His glory, we have to see Jesus in the New Testament. And if you want to learn of the glory of God, and you want to learn of the presence of God, you've got to know Jesus. You're not going to put Jesus somewhere else and go find the presence of God. You're not going to take Jesus and say, I don't need Him in my life, and find the glory of God. If you want to know the glory of God, if you want the presence of God in your life, you have to come to Jesus. And that's what Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father, His glory or His presence, but by Me. Jesus embodied His presence, and the disciples beheld His glory. Except Jesus is no longer here in the flesh, is He? But the Spirit is. Jesus left and He sent the Holy Spirit. In fact, He told the disciples, I've got to go. And they didn't want Him to go. They didn't want Him to leave. He's already died. He's already rose again. And they don't want Him to leave. But He has already told them, if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit cannot come. The Holy Spirit will not come. And He takes them out to the hill outside the city, and He ascends to the Father, and the angel says, what are you doing standing here? Go wait for the Holy Spirit to fall upon you, just as He said. And so we see God's presence and glory today. God's presence and glory today. In the Exodus, the dwelling place of God was the tabernacle and then later the temple. When Jesus was here walking on the earth, the presence and the dwelling place of God was Jesus. The Bible tells us that today the dwelling place of God is the church. the much maligned, highly criticized, I'd like to have Jesus, but I don't need the church. The church is the dwelling place of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. They were a mess. The church at Corinth was a mess. They had all kinds of problems. They had doctrinal problems. They had relational problems. There wasn't any unity there. They had confusion about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There were all kinds of problems there in that church. But Paul says to that criticized, maligned church, you are the temple of God. You are the dwelling place of God. God's Spirit dwells in you. We give up on the church much too easily. We walk away from the church much too easily. If you want the presence of God, you need to be a part of the church. Don't take me wrong here. You are a part of the church when you meet the presence of God in your home. You are part of the church when you're in your prayer closet and you're up before your knees and the tears come to your eyes and you're studying God, studying, reading God's Word and He speaks to you. You are that, and that God's Spirit moves in your life. You're a part of the church when that's happening. You don't, it's not just when the church is gathered. But He's not talking to a bunch of individuals here. He's talking to the church when He says that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you. And the Spirit of God has come and God dwells in us. So you want to know Jesus. You want the presence of Jesus. Well, He's here. He's here this morning. Jesus is in this place today. We didn't invite Him here. He came in when we walked in the door. The Holy Spirit is here within us, within the church. We are God's temple. God's Spirit dwells in you. And so wherever you go, the presence of God goes with you. Wherever you are at, the presence of God is there. But when we all come together in worship, the presence of God, the presence of Christ is here in a different way, in a greater way, as we all come together. The called out assembly, the church. So if you want to know Jesus and you want the presence of Jesus, you give your life to Him, He puts His presence in you, in the Holy Spirit. And the church becomes the temple of God. One more thing, very quickly. The nations observe His glory. What do I mean? Well, we've been talking about the glory of God, and the children of Israel follow the glory of God, and the disciples beheld His glory. So what happens when the church is filled with the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit leads us, and the Holy Spirit guides us, and the Holy Spirit puts the fruit of the Spirit in us. And when what happens when we follow the pillar of cloud and the cloud and the pillar of fire, the column of cloud and the pillar of fire? What happens when we follow the presence of God and we follow the glory of God and God's presence happens and God's glory happens? What happens? The lost nations see His glory and observe His glory. Isaiah 40, verses 5, this is God's plan. Isaiah 40, verse 5, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. Through the church, through the mission of the gospel, through the carrying out of the Great Commission, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. Ezekiel 39, verse 21, I will set my glory among the nations. And Isaiah 66, 18, the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Knowing Jesus is about experiencing His presence and getting a glimpse of His glory. cannot know someone without spending time with them. I'm sure after the last few weeks, a lot of us here, we think we know this lady Ford, and we think we know this Judge Kavanaugh. But the truth is, none of us have ever spent any time with them. We just know what we have read. We just know what the news media has said. We just know what we've seen on TV or heard on the radio or read in a report somewhere. And we've formed our opinions about her and about him, and we've all got an opinion about that stuff if we paid any attention to it at all. The truth is, none of us know either one of them. If you want to know someone, you have to be with them. You have to spend time with them. You have to be in their presence. And to know Jesus, we can't just talk about Him. We can't just talk to people who talk about Him. We can't just read in books about Him. If we want to know Jesus, we have to enter His presence in worship, in prayer, in obedience, in love. We have to enter His presence. So know Jesus and make Him known. Know Jesus, know grace and truth. Know Jesus, seek His presence, and see God's glory. Heavenly Father, just lead us and guide us into Your presence. You have said that we are Your temple and You dwell within us. And Lord, we seem to sometimes want to find You somewhere else. We don't want to look for You in the church. We don't want to look for You in each other. We don't want to even look for You in ourselves. We don't.